This is Carol Kosovar looking at education on KALW. And joining me is Carol Fong, who is the principal at Ulloa Elementary School here in San Francisco. And ta-da! Ulloa has just been recognized as a National Title I Distinguished School. This is a big deal. It's one out of 100 schools in the nation to win this award. So we're going to talk with Carol about what is this award and what does Ulloa do for such an outstanding achievement. Carol, so let's explain a little bit about what Title I is and what are the demographics of Ulloa Elementary School in San Francisco.
Title I is a status that's given to a school reflecting its demographic, mostly of a school that has high percentage of free and reduced lunch students, as well as English learners. So Ulloa is the only Title I school in the Sunset area in San Francisco.
So it's essentially a school that has a lot of children who are new to the country or whose parents don't speak English as their native language and low income.
That's exactly correct.
And so let's talk about achievement, because you threw out some numbers to me that I said, wow. So what are those numbers?
So every year the state of California assesses our students from third grade on to fifth grade using the SBAC score. And so Ulloa scored 79% in English language arts and proficiency and 86% in math. Now that's astounding for schools that have mostly students who do not speak English and are from the lower income bracket. We rank about 20% above the state standard in both areas and 20% above the San Francisco Unified School standard. So if you take that into context of kids who come not even speaking the language and they graduate out with such high proficiency level, it is an excellent example of how well we are doing as a school.
So it's a school where the kids are off the charts on achievement. So the next question, if I'm a parent, I said, my gosh, what do they do? And what are your special programs here to help these kids?
So we recognize our student populations, first and foremost, as students who may need additional support besides academics. These are families that may require support in parenting and other resources. So understanding our population, we're very strategic in terms of understanding the need of these students and having very high expectations that regardless of the fact that they come in a little deficit in terms of language acquisition, our goal is still expect them to learn as any other students in Excel. With that understanding of philosophy, we are very strategic as a staff in terms of setting up programs and plans and collaborating with each other to ensure our kids all have the same opportunity to excel.
So one of the biggest questions is if you have kids who are coming in who don't speak English and an expectation of high achievement, how do you communicate that both to the parents and especially to the children?
For our students, we want to make sure, first and foremost, that they know this is a safe place. Even though they may not speak the language right away, there are caring adults here who speaks both languages to support them in the classroom. We have high expectations in terms that we tell them every day that they need to come ready to learn. This is a fun place to learn, but it is a learning place, first and foremost. We are very diligent in terms of making sure our routines and protocols are very clear to our kids so they know how to access resources, they know what happens in a day, they know the schedule for things. We are also very strategic in identifying adults that they can go to in times of need, because your classroom teacher cannot be the only person in the building they can relate to. So we're very good in identifying resources and staff who are there to support them. Then we communicate our plans to our parents through parent education. So, for instance, take the example of Common Core. We have parent education nights where we talk to our parents why homework coming home is going to look different and how they can help them in spite of the language deficiency. We have multiple ways for parents to communicate with staff. Staff here are mostly bilingual, so parents feel they have access to information, and that's really critical to have that strong home to school connection.
Let me just ask you, you say you have multiple ways of communicating with staff. So what are those ways? Because you have parents who may not be speaking English.
So, for instance, every information we send home are translated on a weekly basis. The office staff are bilingual, trilingual. I am bilingual and fluent. Most of my staff, if they communicate through Chinese letters to the staff, if they cannot read it, they come to the office. We could support that. So, and our social worker is also bilingual. So, in many different ways, our PTA also comprised of parents who are bilingual, who have gone through that whole transition experience and who can't speak from firsthand how hard and how difficult and challenging it may be to come into a school environment where you don't know who people are and how to access things. So they have that firsthand experience, so critical to making that initial connection and building relationship.
Let me just remind you, this is Carol Kosovar, looking at education on KALW, and joining me is Carol Fong, who is principal of Ulloa Elementary School in San Francisco, a national Title I distinguished school. Hooray! I was so pleased to say that one of the things that helps you with the communication and support is your PTA.
Yes, PTA is a big part, and also because we understand our population of parents are not the ones that who would be able to give financially on a consistent basis. We do a lot of team building, community building activities. We have parent workshops. We have, you know, walkathon, haunted house, things that may not necessarily require language to participate, and it's designed that way so they can walk in and have the feeling of being included and part of the school community. So PTA works very closely with the administrations, and they're supporting the vision that we have in terms of building a school community.
Let's talk about attendance. There's an old saying is showing up is 90%, or maybe here at Ulloa it's 99%.
So attendance is critical, right? It's both for staff as well as for students. At Ulloa, the attendance rate is 99.8%, which tells me our kids want to be here and they're happy to be here. And with that being consistent, it allows us to move our academic agenda so much more readily because the kids are here and ready to learn. But that takes building. That takes education and connection with the families and making that a top priority for our students to understand this is a place of learning.
So this school also is a Chinese-Cantonese biliteracy school, unusual in that you have the resources, and I say human resources, to provide that kind of support for youngsters for whom English is not their first language.
Yes, we have the luxury of building a strand that is Cantonese biliteracy. These are kids who speak the native language and are challenged to take on dual curriculum. And this requires a lot of preparation on our kids' part, but they have excelled beyond, you know, understanding, of the language, but they have excelled beyond that. And I think just to mention, it's also a national blue ribbon school and twice over California Distinguished School and 9 years as a Title I academic achievement school. So what we have demonstrated is irregardless of where our kids are coming from, they end and graduated out of Ulloa being excellent and proficient based on the state standards.
Let me just ask one more question because you've talked about the importance of parent engagement. You've talked about the importance of a culture that supports and expects academic excellence. What do you do to support your teachers so that they, because they're the ones that are on the line, are so successfully delivering for the kids?
So as a principal, my priority is to provide clear expectation and support and infrastructure. So at Ulloa, collaboration is the key, the cornerstone to our success. Staff are expected to collaborate, so they meet every week in grade level meeting. We meet monthly as an instructional leadership team. Expectations are clearly articulated and then supported. We build infrastructure to allow for collaboration and expect collaboration. Teachers now, I've been here for 16 years, we have built a culture in which they expect that of of each other as well. They hold each other professionally accountable to collaborate, and collaboration allows for innovation. It allows for cross-training. It allows for high expectation and creativity. It allows for building capacity in leaders within your school. And so we have a group of staff who are highly motivated, highly supported, highly trained, and committed. And it's because it is the norm within the school. So building that school culture is really critical in selecting a successful team.
So let's, as we close out, you talk about collaboration. That means teachers actually get together on a regular basis and talk about the curriculum, but they also talk about the needs of students.
They also, in addition to that, they also look at student work. And I think that is the most impactful work teachers can do, is that they look at each other's students' work, and then they calibrate. And they decided this is okay and this is not. And as a school, this is what we're striving for. Until you have the calibration of expectation, you don't have a team. You have individuals. You may have outstanding individuals, but you don't have a shining team. And at Ulloa, we have a team. And it takes work to build that culture. But until you build that culture, you cannot move your academic agenda with your kids. And so collaboration is key to the success of the school.
I'd really like to thank Carol Fong for joining me, talking about Ulloa Elementary School in San Francisco, a winner in many, many ways. Thanks so much for joining me. This is Carol Kosovar, Looking at Education on KALW.